Welcome to GalacticConnection.com. We are committed to expanding perspectives, bringing forth cutting-edge information and education, and preparing and assisting the planet for the up-and-coming events associated with stepping out of this 3D matrix. We intend to connect minds and hearts around the globe in order to attain global unity and galactic acceptance. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we will bring you the most current topics in the news, as well as education, research, healing information, and out-of-this-world perspectives regarding a variety of topics. For example, you can look forward to discussions on global communities, governments, countries, planets, solar systems, ancient civilizations, and beyond, in addition to metaphysical individuals, angels, extraterrestrials, UFOs, galactic brotherhoods, high councils, and ascended masters. Our guests are experts in these fields, and our GalacticConnection.com show promises to be very thought-provoking.
Let us be together, let us progress and triumph, let us gain energy and momentum. Lead us to clarity, feeling of unity, let there be peace, peace, peace and wonder.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters from GalacticConnection.com, and today is February 11th, 2014. And I thought today that what would be really special to focus on is love. Obviously, we have Valentine's Day right around the corner on Friday, and I have brought forth a very special guest, David Gibson. For those of you that have not heard about him, he is a leading scholar in the field of sound healing and therapy and the founder and director of the Globe Sound and Consciousness Institute, out of San Francisco, California, by the way. He also has a book called The Complete Guide to Sound Healing. It is one of the top sellers in his field. And he is just incredible as far as discussing all the usages of sound, whether it be physical, healing, brainwave entrainment, releasing stuck emotions, opening the heart, and connecting to the spirit. I could go on and on. He has just oodles and oodles of CDs and all different sorts of sound healing treatments. And, I mean, he has even gone so far, I really wanted to ask you about this, David, with the producing 9 sound healing concerts, 3 of which were full 3D projections with 3D glasses for everyone in the audience. How cool is that?
Wow,
so I know. So yeah. Welcome, David. Thank you so much for coming on the air with me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah. So I think where we should start for those that are relatively new to sound healing and, you know, just the whole concept of your institute, where did all this begin?
Well, you know, I actually started out as a recording engineer. And one day I started seeing this magic. Many days I would see magic coming across from different musicians. You know, I'd get goosebumps and chills, of course, some days. The room would turn purple, right?
Yeah, right. That's my favorite color.
Right. Oh, it's great. And I thought, well, what's going on? You know, I mean, how can we repeat this? And what exactly is going on so we can repeat it all the time? And so I started checking around in the Bay Area. I was doing recording classes. I had the whole recording school for years. And then I checked around. There was a lot of people doing sound healing in the Bay Area. It's like the center of sound healing. So I got them to start teaching at the recording school, and then 10 years ago, I added on the associate degree and certificate program in sound healing. I also was working on a virtual reality mixing system where each sound in the mix is represented by a bubble or a sphere graphically, and you could actually reach up with a data glove and grab those images and move them around and control the mix and
Wow. And
surround sound. They float around the room in 3D, and you can, you know, grab them and throw them and bounce them off the walls. And one day I thought, let's put them inside the body. So you could have a VR helmet, and you look down and you see a graphic of inside of your body. You can choose what part of the body you want to work on, and then you can take a geometric structure, which would be like sacred geometry that has its own healing capacity, and then put it in your heart, for example, and it will move the sound up and down inside on the sound table that you're laying on, the sound table that's got speakers in it. So you're feeling it in your heart. You're seeing it in 3D visually in a graphic of your heart. And I thought, if I'm going to be doing this, I should learn about it in detail so I don't explode organs.
Wow.
So that's another way that I got into it as well.
How cool is that? Now, how many people, you know, out there are familiar with this virtual reality system? I mean, for example, have you penetrated the Hollywood sector?
Well, we're just getting funded. Actually, we'll probably have the funds in just another couple of weeks here to get underway with it. So,
fantastic, David.
Yeah, we've actually are using the virtual reality system in a couple of the same concept. I've actually incorporated into a couple of movie concepts and into a major Cirque du Soleil style play that we're working on as well.
Wow, how creative. Gosh, keep me posted on that. I will definitely put that information out there for you. So, wow. So then, how long has it been since you've actually had the Institute going on?
Well, you know, we started the audio recording part over 20 years ago, and then 10 years ago we added on the sound healing part. And now, you know, it's really shifting. We still do audio recording. We teach people how to, you know, run Pro Tools and other programs and run it in a way that affects people in a really deep way now. But also, you know, it's like the sound healing part is really the most exciting because it's really about helping people, healing people, raising consciousness, and really just transforming the planet, you know, transforming people on the planet to bring them into a higher state of consciousness using tools that are a blast.
Yeah, yeah. So you're really motivating them to raise their consciousness.
Yeah, it's been, yeah. It's so cool when you have a tool that's so much fun.
That is so great. Well, clarify for the audience, what is the difference between sound healing versus vibrational medicine, for example?
Well, you know, I always think of vibrational medicine vibrational medicine as a larger umbrella. So sound healing is one aspect of vibrational medicine. Under vibrational medicine, I think of not only energy healing and all the different things you can do, but also sacred geometry, color, and light. And then sound healing is just another one of those components that uses vibration because vibration is the basis of all.
Yeah.
And there's many, many ways that vibration manifests, whether it's electromagnetic, light, or sound.
Fantastic. So now, do you incorporate light with some of your sound therapies?
Oh, yes, we do. We actually have an instructor, Randy Masters, who is a master at all the frequencies of light and how different frequencies of sound mathematically correlate to the frequencies of light. Even though it's a different medium, there's a mathematical formula. And there's a lot of people have had other different systems of correlating different frequencies to different colors and such. So yeah, we do incorporate. It's not our main focus, but it's really cool when you can visualize or use light along with the sound when it's all in coherence.
Oh, my gosh. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, when you're pre-recording music, for example, there's so much controversy out there about the 440 versus the 432. What is your perspective on that?
Oh, my God.
Did I open a can of worms?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot to it, actually. You know, it's so silly when people get so opinionated about it. Because the truth is, there's four different levels. There's frequency, which is what, and pitch, which is what we're talking about, tuning the music to a certain concert pitch. And then there's sounds, which are combinations of frequencies. Then there's music, and then there's energy. And running energy and using intention with music is one of the most powerful. So when you focus on just the frequency pitch section, you know, it is very cool to actually, I mean, some people are saying, okay, we should tune to 444 hertz, which is the 528C that Leonard Horowitz was talking about that actually is supposed to be the frequency of love. But God bless him, Leonard now even himself admits that there's no proof and no research that has proven that this is a frequency of love. Mm. And when anybody comes up with something, you know, that says that this is it, my little red flags go up, you know, until we have a lot of people that have independent research that have come up with the same thing. On the other hand, tuning to 432, there is a lot of really cool things about 432 that are very auspicious. Oh, 528, by the way, does have the auspiciousness of being numerologically, it was in different sections of the Bible, and it all those solfeggio numbers add up to 3, 6, or 9 numerologically.
Right.
So that's a whole nother can of worms, so I won't go down that. So there's, you know, I don't like to throw out any babies. I'm not a baby tosser. Okay. So, you know, so you never know. I mean, 528 could be totally cool. Okay. But 432 has the aspect that, you know, 432 times 432 is about the speed of light. 432 was used in ancient Egypt as a tuning system. Also, this one thing about 432 that's really cool, I really like, you know, the distance from the Earth to the Sun is 108 times the distance of the Earth to the Moon. So you take the distance from the Earth to the Moon and multiply it times 108, and you exactly get the distance to the Sun from the Earth.
Wow.
And 108, if you quadruple it, 4 times 108, is 432. And that's the same note. Whenever you double something, it's the same note.
It almost,
it's an octave higher.
Yeah, it almost reflects the fractalizing aspect of life.
So that does tie in. And what's really interesting in ancient, I mean, in India, in Sanskrit, 108 is a huge number. I mean, you always have 108 mula beads, and you chant something 108 times, and you go into enlightenment. And there's another thing, though. 432 is the average frequency that a baby cries at when they come out of the womb.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. And the most important of all is 432 is the time that I was born.
Well, there you have it.
That's it.
I just love your passion, because I can just feel how much excitement is in your voice with what you do. It really makes this a whole different experience interviewing you today, just by the way.
Cool.
But getting back to the 432, now tell me a little bit about the heartbeat. Is there a particular frequency to that? Is it?
You know, it's interesting. I actually haven't measured what note the actual heartbeat is, but there is research from the HeartMath where they say that when you're transmitting love, your heart actually puts out harmonics that are in golden mean ratios.
Very cool.
And so also when you're transmitting love, your brain goes into a brainwave state of 0.1 cycle per second, which is about basically a slow breath. So it's like in and out. That's about 0.1 cycles per second. And what I noticed, this is really interesting. Just recently I was at the beach, and I thought, well, what's the rate between waves? You know, when they come in groups, but when there's a group between the waves, the time is about 0.1 cycle per second.
Whoa.
So the ocean is entraining us into love.
Wow. And that's why we feel so blissful when we're sitting by the beach.
That's one really big reason.
Wow. That is so cool. Well, tell us a little bit about, you know, how did you come up with the heart chakra being the key of F? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I didn't. That's ancient Sanskrit.
And how did they determine that?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know. It's really I don't know if anybody really knows. You know, it's interesting, you know, because if you look at the chakras from different cultures, F in Chinese culture is the root chakra. In Tibet, A was the root chakra, which would make D the heart. And around here at the Institute, we believe everybody has their own root chakra, their own, which is their soul note. And so, you know, but as far as the note of love for a pitch, Let's see. I've got my crickets. Okay. The note. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, it's God calling. Okay. So the note of love. It's interesting. When I do a actual test, when I ask people to feel love in their heart, and then go and then simply make the sound that corresponds to that note, what happens is people come up with D more than other notes. Not much more. It's generally all over the place. But I'm starting to figure that for that note or frequency of love is different for different people. One of my students in the second semester, they have to do research projects. And he actually had people go into a state of love on the web. He had four different meditations. And then he gave them a tone generator and had them, you know, figure out what frequency seemed to match the feeling of love they were in. And it was all over the place, although it was mostly around 300 to 400 hertz. There was a tiny bell curve around there. Like when I was in Egypt, we would tone the resonant frequency of different chambers, and in the temple of Hathor and another temple as well. After about 45 minutes, the ceiling opened up and love and light just poured into our hearts. We were just in tears, right? And the frequency I heard was, but I'm not going to say that's the frequency of love for everybody, you know? Now, another thing that's really interesting about the frequency of love when it comes to the voice, the research that I was saying where people we test people, they actually are tuning in and hearing the frequency first and then making it with their voice. But if you just ask people to make the sound of love, what they'll do is they'll go to the key of the key that they speak in.
Wow.
Everybody sings, right? Everybody sings with it when they speak. Right? I sing in the key of G when I speak. And when I speak of love, I always go, everybody does. They always, if they're really feeling it and really bringing it sincerely through their voice, they'll go to the home note of the key that they speak in. So for example, I really love my kitty. That last note, love my kitty, is sincere, right? I don't go, I really love my kitty.
That's
I don't
true.
I mean, and so most people, not everybody, but most people do go to the home note to express love, the home note of their voice to express love. And that's different than just feeling in your body and feeling the energy of it, and people come up with a different note. Now, the bell curve for people's voices is D. More people are around D in their voice than any other note. If you want a choir to sing, you have them sing in the key of D because that's more people can sing there. So there's a little bell curve. So with the voice, you could say that love is the key of D because most people are going to go to the home note of D with their voice when they're really expressing love.
Wow, that's fascinating. Obviously, you have an ear. I mean, if you can just hear me speaking to you right now, can you already tell?
Oh, yeah.
What? Really? You can't?
Oh, yeah. You're ooh, there's your note. Here, and I've got a little keyboard here.
Okay.
Ooh, let's see what. That's the note that you, the key that you speak in. Ooh, B flat. You speak B in flat. B flat. Okay. Now, the key that I speak in, I can hear it when I'm. That's when I speak, except when I'm in love. I drop down. I go down.
You get into your love state.
Which is really just an octave lower, anyway.
That is so interesting. So, okay, question. Now, when you mentioned, I was reading through some of your website, which is just like gigantic, by the way, everyone. I was remiss in telling everybody that you should check out David's website. It's soundhealingcenter.com, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's incredible. has so much information if you really want to get well-versed on sound healing. One of the questions I had for you, I noticed that you mentioned that most of the people came up with a range of 200 to 450.
Something like that, yes.
So how, tell me, do you just do that just by listening to them talk, or do you actually bring them into a state of meditation where they feel or visualize, or, you know, how do you figure that out?
Well, you know, it's not perfectly scientific. I mean, we get them into the zone the best we can. You know, some people just know how to go to love, and we'll say, if you know how to go to love, just simply bring universal love into your heart. But the main way, you know, we could do it here. Actually, you want to do a little test? Okay, cool. And everybody that's listening can do it as well. Okay?
Okay, cool.
It's very, very cool. Okay. So simply bring love into your heart now. Feel this love completely. Okay. Let it go through your whole body, this feeling of love, through every cell. It's easy because the truth is you are love. Let it go through your auras, surround you like a bubble. Feel it completely. It's really cool because when you do this with a whole group of people listening, everybody that's listening and doing this, we're creating a whole resonant field. And based on physics, a strong resonant field will transform anything around it, including through the quantum field. Mm-hmm. Feel this love. And now, if it had a frequency, listen for it. It's just a game, you know. High, is it high? Low? Just listen and see if you can hear what note it might be. Just play with it in your head. Tricky for some people. But now, make that note out loud.
That's what came up.
You went to B.
B.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, going from a B flat, which is my signature, to B?
Yeah, it's. I don't know that it means much, because I see these as two different things, which is the key of your voice, and because you didn't just make the sound of love that your voice wanted to make. You heard it first in your head. So
right.
That's a little bit different. So it's not based on the physical contraption of your size of your body and throat and vocal cord.
Vocal cords.
Which totally
yeah.
changes the pitch. So I think it's just a different essence. And so, you know, there might be, and I wouldn't doubt it, that there is a cosmic frequency of love, specifically in our universe, and very likely even more so as different people talk about Alice Bailey and such, in our own solar system. And, you know, it could be a note, but it's weird to make it a certain note, because you can bring love to any sound or any note. For example, let me give you an example. I'll do love at two different unusual frequencies. Here's love at a really low note. Right? I'm running the energy of love when I do that, right? Now let me run the energy of love for a unusual sound. Tricky to do that, actually. But I was running love with that. So whether it's high or low, any note, you can bring love to it. So it is an energy, and there might be a cosmic note of love up there that's really high, and we can octavize it down. But what we seem to be finding with all the research is everybody's got their own note that they resonate with love. And I think that's more important. And there might be little bell curves here and there, but, you know, the truth is what really matters is where you're at. And when you can become intuitive enough and still enough to really hear that frequency for you, that's the key. Instead of saying, you know, instead of following anybody that says, oh, this is it. until, you know, maybe one day we'll have, you know, tons and tons of researches that prove something, you know, but for the most part in sound healing, there are most frequencies are different for what people need or what resonates in them. I think there are some frequencies that are the same in the body and such from person to person, but a lot of it is different from person to person.
Well, you know, David, that makes sense because no two fingerprints are the same.
Right.
You know, no two voices are the same.
Yeah.
You know, so why would our vibration to love be the same? The other thing that really hit me when I was listening to you was you read all these teachings of the ascended masters and possibly the high councils or some of the very nice channelings that are out there. And they're always talking about, you know, be love. Yeah. Be love. And I think people tend to think, oh, it's something I have to do. You know, I have to love someone or I have to be good to someone or whatever. When in actuality, you just kind of hit it right on the head, which is we're creating a resonant field of like a symphony of notes playing in resonance.
That's it. You know, there are two different dynamics. You know, so funny because I did a whole show on love a few years ago after I got back from Egypt, and I did this whole thing about bringing love into your heart. And this one psychic told me a long time ago that, you know, love comes in through the thymus and then down into your heart. And that's what I felt when I was in Egypt. And actually, even before Egypt, I started visualizing love coming in that way and vibrating my thymus, and I was able to run universal love that way. And so I was doing a radio show, and Doug, after the show, he says, Dave, you don't have to bring in love. We are love. You can just be love. And I started thinking about it, and it's absolutely true. We are love. Every cell of our body is love. So you can resonate love. You can be love, just like feel it and be love. Here, let's do another little thing. This will be really cool for everybody, okay, too, because this is one of my favorites. Okay, so everybody, including you, just be and resonate love now. Completely. So cool. You can feel the energy of everybody, even though you're just in your own.
Yeah.
Now, let's do something different. Send love to everybody listening and to us. And we'll send love to everybody listening. Everybody send love to everybody else. And don't forget to receive it.
Whoa.
It's interesting. It's a little different dynamic. And then this is what's really cool is you resonate love and then take that frequency of love and send it to people with the sound like this. You know what's really interesting? It just occurred to me when I was doing that, and I've talked about this a lot. If you play a frequency of love or a note of love with the voice or crystal bowl or Tibetan bowl, whatever, and it's tuned to that frequency of F or D or whatever you feel it is, most people won't get it unless you tell them that that's what it is.
Interesting.
But if that there are certain musical intervals that are totally have been associated with love and are used for love songs, and one is the musical third, and the other is really interesting, the minor sixth, which is the golden ratio almost.
Wow.
So those intervals, so if you really want to express love, people get it, you know, when I just did that toning, when I did the intervals, like, here, I'll do it again.
You can feel where it, hits this particular area of your body.
Yeah.
Where it travels.
Now,
it's very cool.
Now, the other, of course, the most powerful aspect of love of all is simply adding that intention or energy like we just did before. I mean, you could do no frequency at all, although technically when you're doing, you know, intention or a certain state of consciousness of love, you are doing a frequency. You know, there's one other thing that is really interesting that ties into this that I haven't quite resolved yet, which is really cool. You know, we do this whole thing on the frequency of oneness in the universe.
Ooh, I like it.
And what I've determined is oneness, when everybody says when they're one with the universe, they are no frequency. They are all frequencies, actually all frequencies in the universe.
Wow.
So oneness, or God, so to speak, or source energy, is all frequencies.
But that makes so much sense.
This is what's really interesting. You know, everybody that has near-death experiences, I mean, if you go on YouTube, I mean, 95% of them, they say, oh, yeah, I went into this oneness where I was one with everything, with light and everything. And there was this indescribable love there, too. So it's interesting. I find it really interesting that when you're one with the universe, where you're all frequencies, the love is there. So, you know, it's like, okay, is love all frequencies? Or is, you know, I always felt that love is one color of the rainbow from source. There's wisdom, there's other different energies that come out of source, and love is one of them. So I feel it's not just source energy. Although, who really knows for sure? You know, they haven't given us a manual yet, and it's like...
Well, and the other thing is, you know, how do you define source? How do you define, you know, whether you want to call it prime creator or the all that is? Because is that you, me, us, or something outside of us?
Yeah.
Or all of it?
It's interesting. It's interesting. I've started to look at it as all frequencies, but then it's interesting when you look at the frequency of the soul, because your soul... Let me backtrack for a second. This is really interesting. I was a physics major at UC Berkeley to start, right? And basically, one of the most basic laws of physics is everything is vibrating, and the main thing that makes something what it is the rate of vibration that it vibrates at. There's also harmonics on top that add a little more detail, but the main thing is its root home note of what it's vibrating at. That's what makes something what it is. Well, if that's the case, then our soul has to be a frequency because everything's vibrating. And so we are a certain soul frequency that is, Alice Bailey says, is the same from lifetime to lifetime. And that makes sense because if it changed, we would be a different soul. If a cell changes its frequency, it's a different cell. That's that even David Wilcock points that out, you know. And so then it's like, we are a frequency that is part of all frequencies of source, because that's the essence of soul, is it's a frequency connected to the whole universe.
Wow. Well, you know, I was going to ask you, can you give us your take on how frequency unravels the DNA?
Well, you know, that was Leonard Horowitz that came up with that, and he's now admitted, even on a YouTube video, that there is no research proving that.
Okay.
So
that too.
Yeah.
Huh?
So I can't. Yeah. So exactly. That was the main part. There is no actual scientific evidence, and it's there's so much woo-woo and misinformation about the solfeggio frequencies that he's talking about. That it's crazy. I mean, but they actually came, they're only 15 years old. This guy.
No.
Oh, totally. It's like, see, Randy Masters knows the guy, Joseph Pelayo, is the guy that discovered the solfeggio frequency. He did numerology on passages of the Bible, and the same numbers kept coming up over and over and over. This is where the confusion happened. And I know this for pure fact. This is really the real information on all of this. The term solfège comes from Father Guido, who invented it in 1000 AD. And all that is are the different vowels of do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, which are mostly based on the names of the planets, right? So what's happened is because we're using those vowels for these frequencies that were discovered only 15 years ago, a lot of people are now gotten the confused and feel that these frequencies actually came from ancient Gregorian chant. Well, it's actually, Randy is a master at music theory. It's really, it would be practically impossible for someone to sing the exact frequencies of the solfeggio, especially because they are extremely out of tune and dissonant to what we normally would sing. If you put all the solfeggio frequencies together, it is complete dissonance, which can be really cool for breaking up stuck energy. So what people are now doing with the solfeggio frequencies, they're not playing a whole song with all the frequencies because it's crazy. A couple of them sound good together, but most, you put them all together, the chords are horrible. What they're doing is tuning to one of the solfeggio frequencies. So they'll tune their whole song to one frequency of the solfeggio, and so that's like concert pitch, like the 432 that we were talking about earlier. So then there's the meaning of the solfeggio, which is also not ancient. You know, the whole thing of love and releasing fear, all the different aspects of solfeggio, those aren't even ancient either. So there's this huge confusion. And so now again, I don't want to throw them out because it is very amazing that these frequencies are actually, every one of them adds up to 3, 6, or 9. So 528, 5 plus 2 is 7, 7 plus 8 is 15, and then the 1 plus 5 equals a 6. And apparently, according to one of our instructors now, that pattern that is found in these 3, 6, 9 numbers numerologically is also found in the DNA. Okay? So it is a pattern, apparently. I haven't seen the pure science on it. But apparently it is resonating a pattern in the DNA. I'm still a little skeptical about it until I see more information. But what they said, it looked like it kind of made sense. So there could be something very cool there. But you know, as far as ancient Gregorian chant, that's just not true.
Wow. Well, and to also realize that what is new today could possibly be ancient another day.
Yeah.
And vice versa. I mean, and just because it's new doesn't mean that it doesn't yield phenomenal benefits,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, everything is part of the truth.
Yeah. You know, we've got frequencies in our classes. I hand out 4,000 frequencies, and most of them we don't know where they came from. I've got some CDs that were researched by the Germans, which are really good research, and then the other good research is the what's the guy radionics. Frequencies. Those are well researched as well. But, you know, most of them, 90% of them are not well researched, but, I mean, they're psychics and such. So, but you know, I'm not going to throw them out. I mean, if I've got a kidney problem, in fact, I've actually used like these frequencies from all the different charts we have, even though we don't really know where they came from. Because they could be very cool. Now, in order to pin this all down, what we've set up is the Sound Healing Research Foundation. And it's an open resource research project, so everybody can submit research, and it will be shared with everybody. And if you go to Gene Ohm, that's GENEOM.com, you'll find it. And the idea is to but everybody has to tell us, where the research came from. Was it, you know, clinical research? Was it a psychic? Was it muscle testing? What was it? We'll include it all, but we're going to categorize it as to exactly how definitive or how, you know, whether it's a psychic or or repeatable research. And then we'll start mapping it all out. But, you know, it's going to be those frequencies in the body are going to be a bit different from person to person for some things. So what we're looking at, and this is really interesting, is the relationship between the frequencies. I figure that the relationship of the overall frequency of my heart to the frequency of my liver is a musical interval that is the same in you if you're healthy, if we're both healthy. And so we can ultimately find the relationship of all the frequencies between all the 210 types of cells, and therefore find the template of musical interval perfection for every human. And then take that template and use frequency markers based on, well, maybe your soul frequency or maybe your actual heart or just various markers in your body and tune that overall template to you specifically. And then we put it in an iPhone or iPod or, you know, MP3 player, and we resonate you into bliss.
Oh, my God. That is awesome.
And I think it can really be done. Someone said, really, really cool. Just recently, one of my students said, let's actually figure out that core cell when you're a baby and figure out a way to figure out what that frequency is before it gets adulterated by society, although it's already adulterated by past lives. You know, but then we'll get it more at a pure state and then find your template of perfection from that. The only tricky part is how you monitor it without hurting it, you know, which is
gotta be interesting if you could even go to the point of separation from source itself.
Oh my God.
Yeah, can you imagine? Wow, that is just amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm like speechless. I want to hear your take on how you feel sound increases consciousness. Like literally, let me rephrase that. You know the book Power versus Force?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. So how would you see sound playing a part in increasing someone's consciousness, and by how much do you think it would, you know, typically play its part?
Well, of course, it could go off the scale.
Okay, I agree. Right.
There's actually four different levels, and this is really cool. First of all, physically, higher consciousness is about getting every cell in the body to resonate or vibrate at the frequency that it's meant to vibrate at. No higher, no lower. Okay? Now, mentally, the trick is getting your brain waves to vibrate at a rate that is consistent, not jumping around and scattered. And also, your thoughts don't get stuck at a dead end, which gives you, you know, all the craziness and psychoses that people get into. But also to have brain waves that are really vibrating at the frequency they're supposed to be vibrating at. So again, it's not higher or lower. Although when you're in a high state of meditation, you do go to a very fast brainwave rate of gamma and a really slow brainwave rate of sub-delta at the same time. They've monitored Dalai Lama-trained meditators, and they found this. So it's like going both directions, which is similar to the oneness idea, where you get in all frequencies, right? Okay. So then at the emotional state, this is really huge. Probably the number one thing that stops people from going to higher state of consciousness is stuck emotions and negative beliefs. And you can use sound to break them up. We've got one of our instructors, Emmanuel. Emmanuel has worked with 70 people, and now 65 of the people he's worked with cancer, say the cancer is completely gone. Four of them actually have even gone to the hospital and gotten proof.
That is fantastic, David. And in fact, I just want to say something. I had a really bad car accident in 2001. One of the most effective healing modalities I used was sound healing.
Yeah.
And I can attest to the fact that it works.
Oh, it's incredible.
And a lot of people kind of, they don't, because they can't feel it, you know, they can't like tangibly hold a device in their hand. They don't see the legitimacy of it, know, the mainstream, I should say.
So what Emmanuel is doing, he said, I said, well, what are you breaking up the cancer cells? And he says, no, I'm breaking up the emotional blockage that is holding the cancer. When that gets broken up, it goes away.
Okay.
But then the ultimate then, after you clear stuff out and get things in the vibration they're supposed to be, is resonating more frequencies of compassion, gratitude, love, and joy, and also resonating more with the frequency of your soul, where you're connected to all, where you get the information about your soul purpose, and then ultimately resonating more the energy of being one with everything in the universe, that true state of where we really are. Because this illusion of separation we live in is just ridiculous. It's silly.
It's profound, and it's redundantly almost across all cases. Like, I'm a practitioner, and I see that if you take a client all the way back to the beginning, the ultimate pain or the ultimate issue gets back to separation from source.
Yeah, that's it.
And that sensation of feeling that you're all alone, or that you're not in oneness with the universe. So that just resonates to my core hearing you say that.
It is so cool. There's so many ways to use sound and music and energy to get to source energy, you know, to really resonate it. And that's really, that's the ultimate. Although there's really one interesting thing that I was working with this brainwave guy is heavily into different states of consciousness and using EEG with 24 different electrodes on the brain to see. And I said, you know, that's the ultimate, is one where you're one with the universe. And he says, no. And we can see it with EEG. There's one better. I'm like, what better than that? He said, where you're one with the universe and also present with your frequency of your soul at the same time.
Wow. Can I be there? Sign me up now. Come on, David, man, bring it on. Oh, my God. That's incredible.
It is interesting. When I'm normally one with the universe, I don't really have much consciousness of my soul frequency. So I'm still waiting to be able to go to that higher level where I can really perceive both at the same time. Because the truth is, we are just a point of awareness, you know, when we're one. We are nothing. And so it's really, we disappear when we're one with the universe.
We are nothing, but then we're everything.
Yes, right.
If you look at our field, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's like so cool to get into this stuff. Well, and I was going to say also, we still have to contend with our physical density.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you're talking about when you're having to break up these emotional stuck patterns and belief constructs, because they really are geometrical kind of shaped objects.
Yeah, the thing, you know.
You know, I was trying to think of what the
word
is.
Well, from sound, you can look at them as two different ways. You can look at them as distorted sounds like this, or which is different than the vowels, which represent, I mean, if I say make the sound of love, every single person always does a vowel sound. No one ever does eh, but fear would be like eh, and anxiety is like eh, right?
So
from a sound perspective, these lower emotions, so to speak, are distortions. They're not consistent tones like the vowels of love and joy and even your soul. But on the other hand, you can also look at it as from a musical perspective as music that's not flowing. So stuck emotions are like, they're like. In fact, not only do they often get stuck and keep repeating, they often do that for an entire lifetime.
Yeah, it's terrible. I know. Well, that is where you get into the neural beat therapy, right?
Neural beats. Yeah, because you know they found that when you've got a post-traumatic stress, you can see it as a theta loop, looping over and over and over, and you can use brainwave entrainment or even white noise to break up that loop That's why the ocean, that's another reason why the ocean is so cool, is because it's white noise, and noise is technically no frequency. It's pieces of frequencies based on physics. So the ocean is not a frequency. It's actually noise, which is like, you know, rivers and streams. And those break up these stuck frequencies that are actually going on in our brain.
Nice. Well, I tell you what, I was thinking that before we tie this up, I was going to play my favorite tune of yours. I mean, I just love it. I shouldn't call it a tune. It's just so beautiful.
Let me tell you about it. Do I have time to tell you?
Yeah, please do. You've got some
this
time.
This is amazing. This Unconditional Love is, I used to play it on guitar years ago, and whenever I would have, I used to have panic attacks like 20 years ago, and I'd play it on guitar and I'd start crying, and then the panic attack would go away completely. And I
That's
thought,
incredible.
Well. And then a few years ago, this company, Nutri Energetics, they actually send electronic signals through the body and ping different organs. And they give you a 30-page medical readout. And they actually hired me to do like two CDs based on the frequencies of certain intentions that they found using this $15,000 electronic device, right? And so one of them was Unconditional Love. So I made the song using those frequencies and embedded them in the background. But then I did all this research with Parkinson's patients. We did research with a dozen Parkinson's patients. We have sound chairs and tables, and we put them on the sound chair, and their tremors would go away completely. And so and we're still working with some people. It's really, really helpful. And so then this Parkinson's patient came in, and she couldn't even get up the stairs. And so I helped her up, and she got on the chair. She couldn't lay still enough to be on the chair. So I said, well, just listen to the headphones. This is what she said. She said, you know, Parkinson's is like having a panic attack all the time.
Whoa, that's terrible.
I know, and I went, oh, my God. And I thought, oh, Unconditional Love, because I play another song. So I used Unconditional Love and played it in headphones, and in 5 minutes, her tremor stopped completely.
Oh, my gosh. Well, people are just, listen, I don't know how many of you are out there listening to this, but I will be shocked if a whole bunch of you don't have to have this piece of music. I mean, seriously, you outdid yourself.
When I did this, I held the intention of Unconditional Love 100% consistently. I thought, if I'm going to do Unconditional Love, I really got to be in the zone. And then the cello player, when she came in, I said, okay, you got to get in the zone before you play. So this is embedded with a huge amount of intention, which has been proven to come through the music to the to a person.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, David, we're going to go ahead and end with your music. And I just want to remind everybody, please visit his website at soundhealingcenter.com. And you can scope out a little more about David Gibson and his background there. You can also buy some really cool products for sound healing. And maybe we can do another show, David, and get into more details on that as well.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and start this up. And you guys all have a great day. Thanks for coming today, David.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. And everybody have an awesome love day on Friday. Bye.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.